All right, I am Jason Katarski. Welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Today, my co-host Andy Lennox is not with us. He's taking a break, but I have something special in store for you. I have a special guest from South Jersey, Mr. Jason Tagmeier, designer of games like Pixel Lincoln and Maximum Throwdown and the Storyteller Cards, among some other cool projects that we're gonna talk about that are coming up. How are you today, Jason?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, dude. I'm stoked to have you on, man. So let's just get right into it. We only have 20 minutes. For a little background, if people are tuning in for the first time, we like to cover the genre of fillers, those great little games that are easy to teach, that are replayable, that have kind of accessible themes that might spread the hobby of gaming a little bit farther and a little bit wider. Games that just bring people together in a real casual way, but give you a meaningful, kind of memorable experience. So that's just kind of about what we do here on 20 Minutes of Filler, but I want to get to know a little bit about Jason Tagmeier. So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your journey into gaming and maybe your journey into game design?
All right. Gaming, I guess I always grew up gaming. As a teenager, probably playing, you know, Magic the Gathering, HeroScape, Battle Ball. Those actually, I was probably in my 20s, but just playing them all the time, always going to, you know, whatever, even the toy stores like Toys R Us and stuff, and just scouring the game aisles just to see whatever I could grab. As I got a little older, I owned a comic and card shop, so got a little heavier into things like Magic. I never played like tournament Magic, but just into collecting it. Carried some board games there, mostly babysat kids while they played Yu-Gi-Oh all day and their parents dropped them off. They drop them off with no money, well, a dollar to get pizza across the street, and they'd come back to get them like 8 hours later. That's pretty much it. Just always playing games and always being around them. Had very creative friends, dabbled in a little bit of D&D and stuff like that. And then from there, just the creative side is what took me to the design side. Always creating something, whether it was, you know, music or art or film, you know, whatever it was, that's what I was into and my friends were into. So getting into game design was kind of just being by myself, doing some solo creative stuff. Always interested in toys, you know, toy design and things like that, and it just led to games. Eventually made, you know, the very first version of Pixel Lincoln, which was really weird and crap, but it kind of all went downhill from there.
That's awesome, dude. It's kind of cool to hear people's journeys, just kind of like where they start and how that morphs over time. Pixel Lincoln, I just want to touch on that real quick, is just a really clever idea. And I think that was that your first published game design, like tabletop game?
Well, the publishing, it took a really long time from the Kickstarter to the published version. So it was actually my second, but the Kickstarter would have been the first. Yeah.
Okay. And this is a deck building game where an 8-bit Abraham Lincoln has had his hat stolen by John Wilkes Booth, and he's trying to retrieve it with his like salami or something, right? Does that sum it up?
Well, there actually isn't any salami in the game, but there needs to be. Every other meat you could imagine.
Oh, it's a sausage whip. Is that what it is?
Absolutely, he's got a sausage link whip.
Well, I haven't played it yet, but it's been on my list. My local game store has like the little box that like is for carrying the big box in or something, but they don't have a game.
Wow. Yeah, the little box is like it's a small expansion and a travel box. It's basically all the Kickstarter bonuses that we hit, you know, all the stretch goals and everything, just combined into one retail product.
Okay, well, I'll get that after I get the base game, but
that's a good idea.
Awesome. The other game that you re-released last year was Maximum Throwdown with AEG, and it's this dexterity. We just talked about dexterity games in our last episode, and your game came up a lot because it's just such a clever a clever thing where you're throwing these cards at these what are we throwing the cards at? Targets, bases, and
they're just bases, yeah.
Yeah, whatever icons are showing, like gives you more powers, more abilities. Like what kind of was the inspiration behind that game?
Like most of the games I make, it's just me doing something silly. And I had a deck of regular playing cards and I was just waiting for my brother to get his act together and I'm throwing them on the table. And, I decided I was going to try to start like covering the hearts with the spades. And I just was doing that forever. And it eventually turned into, let me try to cover the numbers. The numbers are actually points. And within, you know, like an hour, I had a printed prototype of something really similar to what's out there now. It's just really just messing around with giving hearts and diamonds and clubs, like abilities. And yeah, that was it. It was just tossing cards on the table.
Awesome. And then they took it and they skinned it with like all the different kind of IPs in the AEG universe, right? So you've got the Smash Up Aliens and you've got Legend of the Five Rings stuff in there, which...
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I made a version that was skinned with like a unicorn, like just really simple, like silhouettes. And they were just like, you know, what if we skinned it with, you know, what if we made it AEG universe? And I was just like, oh, that's weird. And then I was like, oh wait, that's really cool. So, you know, having Smash Up in like being able to create something that's technically in the Smash Up universe sort of, And all the other universes, like Warlord. Warlord was one of the old CCGs that I used to love. There's a couple characters from Warlord in there. So it was cool.
That's very cool, man. Congratulations on those games coming out.
Thank you.
I can't say enough good things. Maximum Throwdown is one of my favorites from last year, just because it is so quirky. And the first time I played it, like, I totally destroyed my friend that I was playing it with. So like that'll make me come back to it time and time again, just because I feel like my confidence is boosted in a strange way.
Thank you, friend, for losing.
Yeah, totally. So you also have dabbled in publishing a little bit. So what made you move in that direction away from just design?
So publishing it goes back to that need to create. I've always got this need to constantly be making something no matter what it is. And publishing was part of, you know, seeing that physical product. Like years ago, before things like the Game Crafter, there were no ways to get, you know, you could get your game published or you could have your game, you know, at your house. So I was just looking into weird creative ways to get a game into somebody's hands. So there was an old company called Guild of Blades that did print on demand like years ago. And you had to buy, I think it was like a minimum of like 25 decks. So I started buying a couple from them just to even just to have my game in my own hands. Because I had no clue even about prototyping then. Like I couldn't even make a decent prototype. So I started using them, and then I got into like, I had even like weirder thoughts of like, what if I made a game that used business card stock? And business cards, you got to buy about 1,000 of them at a time. So I was like, how could I make a game that uses the least amount of cards, individual cards? It could use a ton of the same card. And I made a game that had 5 cards, but 10 of each of them, and just printed it on business card stock. So I just started doing things like that and just trying to find different ways to make a physical product. And it didn't even have to be games, you know, like I said, with like toys, I was really interested in toy design and things like that. So just the physical product really appeals to me. And then as time went on with designing games, trying to find creative ways to get those games out there, before I even really thought about pitching to a publisher or anything like that, that was really the only option. So,
well, that's cool. Yeah. Like you just, it doesn't stop. Like when we first met, we were, you came up to me at Gen Con and I was showing off Great Heartland Holland and you had heard me on a podcast and you're like, hey, I heard you were in a punk band. And I'm like, well, yes, I was. Who are you, sir? And you told me that you used to put on shows and stuff. And I go back to those days even, and I see like that same kind of thing in me, that creative, like, okay, so like, I love music. So I gotta learn to play guitar, you know? Like, and then I was like, okay, so now that I know how to play guitar a little bit, like I'm going to make some songs and put a band together and then we're going to play shows. And then, okay, then I got to put out an album, you know, then we got to go on tour. Like it just doesn't stop for some of us, you know, like this creative push. You seem like one of those guys that you have your fingers in all the pies.
That's exactly it. Because I went through the same route with playing in the band, and then it was like, all right, now how can I put on shows? Now how can I open my own venue? And then just like, where does it go from there?
Yeah, that's cool, man. It's I've come back to those ideas. That there is a lot of similarities between like the punk rock scene and the indie gaming community, because it's so close knit and it has this DIY ethic, and the barrier to entry is getting easier and easier all the time with gaming. And it maybe wasn't so back in the day. It was all the fat cat publishers with the money, you know, trying to make some young kid's dream come true. But now like with Kickstarter and those print on demand companies, it's just happening. So that's really cool. So you've published the first set of Storyteller cards. You helped with another designer's game too. Was it something called Pigpen or something like that?
Oh, Pigpen is my friend Kevin Culp. I got in touch with him through Island Officials. They're the guys that are doing Pixel Ink in the video game and then the board game, and I'm working with them on it. He got in touch with us. He's just like a local guy. We see him at all the Philly game events. And he had this game called Pigpen, and he was at a convention sitting there with his whole family, his kids and all, just like selling the game. It was totally like not really handmade, but, you know, basically the next thing up from that. And it was just the coolest thing. So I played the game, and the game was really cool. So I said, let's, you know, Island Officials, if we do another game, we should definitely do Kevin's game. And then I just went in and did development on it. I wound up co-designing a little expansion for it. And just worked with him for months on it, and it was really cool being able to work within somebody else's game.
Yeah, that's cool. And another experience that jarred my memory too. You worked on one of the Quarriors sets, and that one I think is I'd call that a filler game. So how did that come?
that was the first one that was it actually came out before Pixel Ink, and I submitted to they had like a Be the Next Designer contest or something. And I submitted to them, and they were just like, well, you know, you haven't really done anything and your stuff seems kind of basic. And so I told them about winning a contest on the Game Crafter. And I guess that just kind of caught their eye a little bit. And they were like, cool, well, you know, you can pitch us a couple things or whatever. And they would send out different game ideas for all the designers in the pool to pitch to. And one of them wound up being a Quarriors game. And I love Quarriors. So I was like, here's my pitch. And it was, my pitch was called Quarantine at the time, because I was sick for like a month and like in bed. And I was thinking about the dice being locked up in quarantine while I was locked up in quarantine, and they took it, which was awesome. And just rolled on from there.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So we talked a little bit about, you know, what you've done in the past, but recently on Twitter, I think you were kind of having this realization about how crazy your spring is going to be, man. That about you have a ton of projects coming up. So why don't you just share briefly about each of those projects that you're involved with in the next few months?
Okay, that was basically me doing the marketing end of being a publisher, which is the worst part for me. Was like, I have three projects coming out in the next couple weeks, month, or whatever, and I've barely talked about them. I better get it all out there right now. So the first one is Storyteller Cards Fantasy. Storyteller Cards is a deck of playing cards to inspire creativity. I did them on Kickstarter last year. It was the first thing I self-published at a large level, you know, ordering like 2,500 copies of the game, or of the deck, actually. And it's just a deck of playing cards. It's just there to inspire writer's block. You can make up games with them. You can play standard card games. They have really awesome art by Campbell White. So we're making a sequel to it called Storyteller Cards Fantasy, where it's all very like rooted in Dungeons and Dragons and things like that. And instead of just being basic people like a police officer or a jogger or things like that, it's like a gnome fighter, you know, with a weapon, holding an item, and just in all different scenarios you'd see them in a fantasy setting. So that one's coming to Kickstarter, and we've already got an established fan base for the first one, so I'm really excited to see how it works, you know, going around the second time around. Second one is a game I did called Famous Missions. It's a party game, very similar to like Apples to Apples and Cards Against Humanity and stuff, where there's a judge and they, you know, each player does something, the judge votes on it. In this case, it's everyone has a handful of famous people, some good, some bad, and a mission comes out, dismantle a bomb. And everybody plays their best team of three, judge votes on them, and there's a couple other little twists in there. But the famous people are what makes it. So there's people like Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln, and then there's people that are like Paris Hilton or Carrot Top, and so you have to construct your story of why they should be the team that dismantles the bomb, which can get a lot of fun depending on the crowd. It's a very, you know, you need a creative crowd to get into that kind of thing. And then the third one is Movie Plots. It's by my friend Alex Strang, and it's the first full game that I'm really doing that isn't mine. On the self-publishing side, and it's just a small, like, 12 card basically a storytelling game where somebody starts a story of a movie, you know, a man and woman walk into a bar, and then you get these cards like give one of the characters a fatal flaw, so you got to continue the story and use what's on the card to get to the next spot, and that can just get hilarious as well depending on the crowd. It's funny that all three things I'm doing are very storyline creative based, unintentionally.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't heard about the movie plot. Is that what the last one's called?
Movie Plots. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a fun thing. Now you also have some news shortly after you got back from Unpub. You mentioned that you had signed a game with Griffin Games.
Yeah, this was cool. It was I made a game. I was kind of working on it before the Dice Hate Me 54 card challenge, but as soon as that came out, it prompted me to finish the game. And it's just a 54 card game called, it's Seven Sevens, and it's basically seven famous sevens where players are trying to get the best three card hand, high number would win, and they're from one through seven. But it's seven different, I guess you could call them suits, like seven sets or suits of the famous sevens. So seven deadly sins, seven wonders of the world, seven seas, seven colors in the rainbow, things like that. And each one has special powers. You know, the seas allow you to move cards. The wonders allow you to see cards and things like that. So Griffin, I met them at Unpub. I met them before, but they got to play it at Unpub and signed it, which was the coolest thing.
Yeah, congrats, dude. That's cool. It's gonna be a Tagmeyer year, man.
Hopefully.
We're gonna kind of move towards wrapping up, but since this show is all about fillers, I just wanted to have you recommend for our listeners something that's a great filler that you didn't design. So, like, what is your favorite, like, your go-to filler game?
So, do I have to pick one? All right. As weird as it'll sound, something like Tok Tok Woodman, where, you know, you're knocking down a logs on a something else like Ink and Gold. I love Ink and Gold.
Classic.
And then, like, Story Cubes. Not even a game, but something that I will bust out and love.
Very cool. Yeah, those are all good picks. I haven't played Tok Tok Woodman, but Ink and Gold is a favorite of mine, and Story Cubes. Is that what you said, Story Cubes?
Yeah, yeah.
Those get a lot of play here with my 4-year-old. So, and that can provide some great bedtime story times.
And you turned me on to Brave Rats, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, dude. That I haven't played it yet, but I'm so interested in, like, a game that looks like it's like war meets love letter with, like, beautiful art by a Kanai. So
yeah,
I'm stoked to get my hands on that.
I was trying to figure out how to snag a copy at Toy Fair, but
stealing from publishers you may want to work with in the future probably isn't a good move.
Hiding the fact that I had it would have been hard too, because I would want to talk about it.
Totally. Well, hey, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you sharing what's going on and telling us a little bit about your story. If people want to dig more into all that is Jason Tagmeyer, where can they find more about you?
Twitter, JTagmeyer, or buttonshy.com is button and then shy.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. Please continue spreading the word that this is one of the places you can come to find out about great little games that you can fill your time up with your family and friends with. Have a great one.